the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science.
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to journey number 148 of the Journey Into podcast, featuring Journey into the Dying Light of Stars by Bria Burton. I am your guide on this journey, Marshall Latham, coming to you from Base Camp in the Treasure Valley. Well, this episode is coming late, but we have the first place winner of the Journey Into writing contest from about 2.5 years back. I think up to this point you've heard three of the stories, the second and third place winners, as well as a honorable mention that we started off with. It's great to be able to bring this last story to you from the contest. Not only is it a great story, and I look forward to you hearing it, but it's also... It's kind of the culmination of me finishing up something that I committed to do years ago. I'm glad that I've been able to feature these stories here on the podcast and give these authors their due. And this story comes to us from Bria Burton. She's been featured here on the podcast before. Ran her story, Lygia, which was part of a Edgar Allan Poe writing contest, and another Edgar Allan Poe inspired story that she wrote, but I don't think got into the contest because I never got her submission. But then she went ahead and self-recorded it, and I liked it enough to put it here on the podcast. I've enjoyed her writing. I've read several things that she's worked on, and she's a great friend of the podcast. But I do want to say that that's not the reason that she won this contest. You know, to me, it was the best story out of the ones that were submitted. And I like it quite a bit. And in just a couple minutes, you'll get to see why I liked it. And you can be the judge for yourself, whether you like it or not. I'm sure you will. It's a good story. So let me tell you a little bit about Bria, other than what I've just said. Bria is an award-winning author. She lives in St. Petersburg with her wonderful husband, her darling son, and two wild pets who are featured in their own stories, and I believe even have book collections written about them. Her fiction has appeared in over 20 anthologies and magazines. Her novelette, The Running Girls, was a 2017 Royal Palm Literary Award finalist. Her novella, Little Angel Helper, which I liked quite a bit, won a 2016 RLPA and earned high praise from the 25th Annual Writer's Digest Self-Published Book Awards. Wow, that's a mouthful right there. While she writes, her dog and cat do their best to distract her, which is why they star in her family-friendly short story collection, Lance and Ringo Tales. There you go. That's the one I was talking about. She writes under the pen name Shayla Cole for her epic fantasy trilogy, Livinity, awarded a first place RPLA in unpublished fantasy. At the St. Pete Running Company, she's a blogger and customer service manager. A member of the Florida Writers Association, she previously led the St. Pete chapter and served on a statewide FWA board. She is also a member of the Alvarium Experiment, a by-invitation-only consortium of outstanding authors who created the Prometheus Saga, Volume 1 and 2. Return to Earth and the Masters Reimagined anthologies. So she's written quite a bit, and she's been published quite a bit, and she just keeps on going. It's kind of inspiring to see how much she writes. And so that brings us to the story. The contest first place winner.
It's time for number one. This is it. Here it comes, number one.
So come with me, and let's journey, well, into the dying light of stars.
Journey into the Dying Light of Stars by Bria Burton. Hour. Alarms screeched like banshees and red lights flashed. Vala slammed the heel of her hand into the override button, but her escape route remained sealed off. The faint scent of smog disturbed her, confirming that things had gone very wrong aboard Earth Station S1. After the 10th smack into the round button, which annoyingly depressed each time to no effect, Vala stopped, panting. Her hand hurt. Her ears were ringing, her eyes stung, tears welling and threatening to blur her vision. A welcome but inconvenient scenario. She didn't want to see the dead anymore, and didn't have time to grieve. Facing away toward her blocked exit didn't help. The images burned into her psyche, flashing at any given moment. Every hallway was littered with bodies. She'd stepped over colleagues, friends, and finally found her husband. His deformed face seared her from eyes to throat and all the way to her heart like a blow to the chest. His mouth hung open, eyes bulging, boils everywhere. She'd exploded like a volcano, screaming and falling to her knees before his lifeless body. She hadn't dared to touch him, but she couldn't leave him either. She needed to get inside the transport bay. After covering him with a blanket, she'd rolled him onto a full-length wheeled dolly. She'd pushed him all the way to the door. The door that wouldn't open. Hours. 2 hours earlier.
Vala, what is it?
Trey held her shoulders, gazing into her eyes with a look of concern.
Did my evil stepmother harass you again?
Vala forced a giggle, but knew how fake it sounded.
It's fine. I entered an upload code incorrectly, which delayed the Embark 7 from docking.
By what, 20 seconds?
His eyebrow raised with a smirk.
You know your stepmom. Schedule is more important to Ingrid than anything else.
Come here.
He pulled Vala into his embrace, brushing his hands over her hair. His pine forest cologne wafted around her like a safety net, the scent his alone. She squeezed his broad body, comforted. Whatever happened at work, Trey always gave her the feeling that they could escape the troubles of the day and just be husband and wife. Didn't matter that they couldn't leave their place of employment. Once they were inside their private residence, they could strip off their uniforms and tumble through the sheets together until Trey reminded her just how close they were to heaven. Vala rested her cheek on Trey's chest as he rocked her. She could see into the comm room, where some of her co-workers had glanced their direction, but quickly turned away.
Come on.
He kept an arm around her shoulder.
Let's get showered.
As she strolled with her arm wrapped around his waist, one of the medical alarms sounded.
So you get showered.
He kissed her lips, holding her face with both hands.
And I'll join you as soon as I can.
Yes, Doctor. I'll be waiting.
Vala winked. Trey jogged down the corridor toward medical. "1500 hours. 5 minutes.
You can do this. Come on, think.
Questions piled like receiving reports, but Vala had no answers. It was difficult to concentrate with the blasting alarms. How had everyone died? Were there any other survivors? What happened to the Embark 7 passengers? She sniffed. Had her husband been in much pain before the end? She paced in front of the sealed, windowless entrance to the transports. After sending out emergency alerts on every station channel, she waited for an answer. Nothing. Even the Earth Command Center, or ECC, wasn't responding, which sent a terrified shiver over her entire body. She needed to get out of there. Being alive didn't mean she was safe. She had no idea how she'd survive the mass casualty. She'd take Trey's body to Armstrong Moon Station. From there, she'd head back home for his burial. Behind her, Trey lay on top of the dolly, beneath a quilted blanket. She tried to picture only his handsome face, and forget the one covered with boils. Could the Embark 7 be unaffected?
Please, God, let them still be on board and alive.
On the touchscreen above the override, she pressed the necessary buttons and opened the docking channels. She sent an SOS code. Then she turned on the mic and spoke her own urgent message. With no visual monitor, they would receive only audio.
This is Vala Hale of Earth Station S1 Comm Center. We are in a state of emergency. Please respond.
I read you, Hale. This is Embark 7 Comm Director Greg Poole. What's your emergency? We've been hearing alarms for over an hour.
Poole!
She burst into tears, but suppressed the sobs that shook her to the core.
Everyone is dead. As far as I can tell, they've been wiped out by some plague? I don't know. There's a strange, smog-like odor. The bodies are covered in boils. Please tell me your people are alive and accounted for.
Our crew of six is all here, thanks to a docking delay. General Olin had to take his virtual meeting with the President in his cabin, so we've been waiting for him before disembarking.
That was my fault, but thank God you're alive!
She might have shouted unnecessarily, but wanted to make sure he could hear her over the alarms. General Olin. That meant, maybe...
Sounds like you might have saved us from that plague, or whatever it is. How did you survive?
I don't know.
She glanced at her shaking hands. No boils.
But I can't get a response from anyone, on station or at ECC. And I can't get into the transport bay. The door won't open. I've tried the override button and a few code sequences.
She didn't have a very high clearance, so no surprise that her codes didn't work. Hammering the button had at least given her a sort of punching bag.
Let me contact ECC and see what's going on. I'll try to reach the other station wings. General Olin will certainly have any override codes you might need. When he's done with his meeting...
Please, interrupt him.
I would, but the President...
needs to know what's going on.
An incomplete report? I'm sorry, but I'm not comfortable with that. I need to find out what I can from ECC first. Just give me a few minutes. What's your mobile code?
She pulled her device out of her pocket and stared at the screen. No messages. No connection.
I have no connection. You can't reach me that way.
Then keep this channel open. I'll get back to you soon.
Hurry.
The silence between the sounding alarms left her with a black hole in her gut. She slipped her mobile back into her pocket and put her back against the wall. She sank to the floor and dropped her head into her hands, weeping. 1300 hours, 30 minutes.
Vala?
At the sound of a crisp and nasally voice, Vala stopped just shy of her residence and pivoted. Her stepmother-in-law approached from the end of the hallway. A too tight bun pulled the skin around her forehead and cheeks, giving her a freshly Botoxed look.
Yes, Ingrid?
She asked sweetly. In all things involving Trey's stepmom, she played the role of acquiescent employee or obedient daughter-in-law, whichever was appropriate.
I need a moment. Can I come in?
Without waiting, Ingrid opened the door to the Hale residence with a few taps of the touchscreen. No longer shocked by anything that Ingrid did, Vala followed her inside. The lights responded to the movement and brightened. Vala stopped in the entryway, hoping to keep the conversation short, but Ingrid walked to the panoramic window. The earth filled up most of the view, displaying the northern hemisphere in all its beauty. The dark blanket of space wrapped around the globe, and bursts of starlight danced as if to music.
I have cancer.
Vala must have heard wrong.
What?
Ingrid turned away from the glorious view.
It's been 2 years. The treatments aren't working.
How could Ingrid undergo cancer treatments without her stepson knowing about it? Unless...
Does Trey know?
I've been seeing Dr. Riggs.
The noticeably thin frame of Ingrid's body displayed itself as an obvious oversight now that she stood in front of a planet. Vala thought all the treadmill hours at the gym had slimmed an already thin Ingrid down to pint-sized.
I'm so sorry. What can I...
Obviously, if Dr. Riggs couldn't cure me, there's nothing you could possibly do.
Obviously. Vala repressed her bitterness, not wanting to say anything she'd regret. As much as Ingrid tried to make their lives miserable, Trey made sure they kept appropriate boundaries with her.
I'd like to help in any way I can. Would you like me to tell Trey?
Definitely not. I don't want him to know anything about this conversation. Do you understand?
Yes,
Vala said. But no, she did not understand. Why tell her and not Trey? Although Ingrid appeared to have little love for her stepson, she treated him better than she treated Vala. As the Station Comm Center Administrator, or SCCA, for Earhart Wing, Ingrid berated Vala on a regular basis. Nothing was ever good enough, but that was true about anyone under Ingrid's authority. She apparently hated everyone on Earth Station S1.
I need you to do something for me.
Yes?
Vala waited, her mind a blank. What could Ingrid want from her?
Please ask your friend, Pepper Underwood, to forward you all security clearances for Bondar Wing.
Had Ingrid asked for the moon to be brought aboard, Vala wouldn't have been more surprised. She hesitated, not wanting to blurt out something foolish.
I'd ask her myself, but she's been filing complaints against me to the SCCD.
Station Comm Center Director Wedge despised Ingrid as much as anyone. As her superior, he openly displayed his sentiment.
I'm on a probationary period that could result in the loss of my position. Without the clearances, I can't complete a station-wide report the director assigned to me. Then I'll most certainly lose my job, which would please Pepper and give her reason not to help me.
The nebulous cleared, and Vala understood. She had no idea Ingrid had gotten herself into so much trouble. Trey certainly didn't know either. She'd shared the cancer diagnosis to present Vala with a request she couldn't refuse. Or could she? No, Vala couldn't abandon Ingrid in a time of need. If the treatments weren't working, how much time did Ingrid have? Perhaps the job was all she had left.
Shall I forward them to you?
Send them directly to my mobile, within the hour.
She strode past Vala and exited without so much as a goodbye or a thank you. What did Vala expect? Facing the end of her life didn't seem to make a dent and a battle axe like Ingrid. Hours, 15 minutes. If Vala could do anything right now, she'd silence those beeping alarms. Her head ached on top of everything else. Poole had left her alone for over an hour with a hallway full of bodies, including the one she didn't want to think about. A fresh bout of tears sprang up as she stared at Trey's blanketed form. She couldn't believe the person beneath was her husband.
Hale, do you read me?
She shot up to her feet and pressed the mic button.
I'm here.
Relief washed over her warm face like a cool breeze. She wasn't completely alone.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but ECC is totally in the dark. They had no clue any alarms had been triggered. Everything looks normal on their system scans. The security monitors have been looped, so they're seeing images from hours ago.
Looped? How?
No idea. They just noticed the times were incorrect.
They believe me, right?
A video or photo from your mobile would help.
But without a connection...
If you can plug in, you can upload images and send them to me from any touchscreen.
I'll find a cord.
Do it quickly. Our team is staying aboard until further notice. Until we know what killed everyone and what's keeping you alive, we need to remain here.
Agreed. Have you spoken to General Olin?
Still in the meeting, but once you send those images, I will interrupt him.
Hours, 45 minutes. After Ingrid's abrupt departure, Vala wasted no time. She took the bridge shortcut to Bondar Wing. The windowed hallway gave breathtaking views of space, Earth, and the Moon. The Earth-to-Moon Bridge, or ETM, could only be seen from Collins Wing, above her current location, a 350,000-kilometer space tunnel linked Earth Station S-1 and Armstrong Moon Station. Travelers were required to take Dolaplex before boarding. The sleeping powder had no ill side effects, but prevented the transport vehicle from being covered in vomit. Vala had grown up on the first moon colony. She had crossed the ETM hundreds of times. Most of her family worked at Armstrong Station. Once Vala entered Bondar Wing, she took the successive hallways that led to her best friend Pepper's office. As expected, the dark-skinned blonde bombshell had company. One of the maintenance techs hovered over her desk, gesturing like he had something really impressive to show her in his flexed bicep. Vala waited with an earshot outside the door.
Listen, Reg, I get that you're impressed with how much weight you've been lifting, but I'm not. You see this stack of receiving reports? I've got less than 30 minutes to file them. And you flashing your guns at me doesn't get my job done any faster. Besides, I'm not into muscleheads. So, be on your way.
She waved with her back hand, in a shoo-fly manner. Reg turned away with a snort.
Huh. All right. Let's see how jealous I can make you.
His strut mimicked the vainest of peacocks. When he left, Vala peeked in through the doorway.
How's my pep?
The initial startle had sent Pepper into a wide-eyed grimace, but once she saw Vala, she relaxed her shoulders and smiled.
Valley Val, get in here. I need something other than the smell of sweaty male entering my nostrils. I hope you're wearing that mango lotion I bought you.
Of course.
Vala presented her arm, and Pepper took a whiff.
There. Sinus is cleared.
She flashed her million-watt smile.
What brings you to B-Wing?
A favor.
Vala bit her lip.
It's a big one, and I can't tell you much, so please just trust me that it's really important. I can tell you more... soon.
When? When Ingrid was dead? How morbid could Vala be? When she knew Ingrid wouldn't lose her job, she'd tell her best friend everything.
Okay.
Pepper squinted.
What's the favor?
Will you send me all the clearance codes for this wing?
Pepper turned to her screen.
And I thought you'd have something difficult for me.
Really? How can I repay you?
Pepper tapped a sequence of buttons.
Cosmos at the bar. Every Friday for a month.
Vala cringed.
Deal.
Trey would not thank her for that.
Don't worry. I can only have two or three before I'm sloshed.
Her fingers skipped across the touchscreen in movements that rivaled Lord of the Dance.
Done.
Wow. Thank you. I owe you.
Friday.
Pepper waved, turning to her stack of reports. On the walk back to Earhart Wing, Vala checked her messages and opened the one from Pepper. With a glance at the codes, she forwarded them to Ingrid's mobile. Then she deleted both the sent and received messages. Hours, 30 minutes. Vala hated to leave Trey, but she had no choice. She needed a mobile plug-in. If ECC wouldn't believe her, they'd believe the video she was about to send them. She jogged back down the corridor, avoiding the sprawling bodies and limbs. Either she mentally blocked out the alarms, or she'd suffered hearing loss. The smog still lingered. Could the boils be causing the smell? Except it seemed to be coming from the vents in the ceiling just a few feet overhead. An attack of some kind? Then why was she immune to it? If only she'd saved those clearance codes from Pepper, Vala could have opened the door herself by now. She didn't have top-level clearance, so she hadn't wanted to be caught with the codes. Was her best friend dead too? Vala had no reason to believe otherwise. At the first office door, she pushed inside and searched the desk. In the drawer, several cords tangled together, including the kind that connected a mobile to the touchscreens. She untangled it from the pile. As she walked back up the curving hallway leading to the stubborn door, she filmed the bodies at her feet. As the dolly came into view, someone in a lab coat knelt over it, lifting the blanket. Another survivor?
Hey!
Vala cried, much more aware of the alarms again. She'd stopped the video and sped up.
Don't touch him!
The white-haired man lifted his face toward her. He dropped the blanket and stood. She recognized Station Lab Director Heater.
Dr. Heater!
She stopped in front of him, panting.
It might be a plague. You shouldn't...
I know what it is,
he snarled.
Ingrid is responsible.
The words slammed into her like a door in the face.
What?
Hours, 15 minutes. Vala peeked into medical, but Trey was nowhere in sight.
Looking for Dr. Hale?
Asked a passing nurse.
He's escorting a patient back to their residence.
Actually, Dr. Riggs.
In his office.
At his open door, she knocked.
Am I interrupting?
Come in, Mrs. Hale.
The balding physician grinned.
What can I help you with?
Trey's stepmother, Ingrid Hale, told me something in confidence today. I think you know what I'm referring to.
Dr. Riggs tilted his head.
If it's about the burns, you don't have to worry. Nothing serious. I warned her not to spend any more time in Dr. Hedder's lab. He's not quite stable, in my opinion. Neither are some of his experiments.
No.
Vala stepped closer, whispering.
The cancer.
Cancer?
Ingrid told me the treatments haven't worked.
My dear,
he said, with a shake of his head.
I haven't the foggiest idea what you're talking about.
Hours, 45 minutes. The alarms, like wailing infants, scraped beyond Vala's eardrums and into her brain.
Ingrid never had cancer, did she?
Vala held up her mobile and cord like weapons.
She used those codes to attack the station.
She lifted her gaze to the vent overhead.
Did you help her?
I had nothing to do with the attack.
The anger in Dr. Heater's eyes softened.
I'm not a threat to you. Yes, I created the toxin, but not for this. It was for a private military contract.
He bowed his head.
I needed the money. Ingrid launched the codes and released the poison into the air ducts. Once it makes contact with skin, there's nothing to be done. I'm so sorry about your husband.
She acknowledged his statement with a quick nod.
How are we alive?
I injected myself with an antidote. I created it with the blood of the only other type of person who is immune, a pregnant woman.
So you're saying I'm pregnant?
It's the only explanation. The phenomenon is one I could never explain. Ingrid had no idea about the immunity.
Trey's father, a kind-hearted man, had died 2 years ago. He'd been the Earhart Wing SCAA before Ingrid took over. When he'd been alive, Ingrid's hatefulness remained in check. Maybe his death released the monster in her. Vala marched up to Dr. Heater, not nearly his height, except in rage.
Where is she?
It's going to be hard to accept what I'm about to tell you.
Talk fast. I've got a video to upload.
She circled around the other side of the dolly, keeping her eyes on him as she plugged in the mobile.
Ingrid is here.
He gestured toward the touchscreen paneling.
Just like you're uploading that video, I uploaded her consciousness into the mainframe.
Vala glared at him.
That's impossible.
Took me almost a lifetime to get it right. She volunteered to be my pilot.
Pilot?
Knowing it was a one-way trip. She's the first person to meld with a computer. Her first action was releasing the toxin. Me pulling the plug on her body did nothing. The vessel was empty, and therefore, Ingrid is technically deceased. In my lab, I had a communication channel set up to talk to her. I tried to stop her, tried to reason with her, but she wanted everyone in this station dead. It was as if she'd become devoid of a conscience as soon as she uploaded.
She's always been that way.
The mobile transfer completed, Vala sent the video to Pool.
How do we destroy her?
A virus.
He held up a portal drive.
She's been blocking ECC, looping security video, testing boundaries. In a matter of hours, she'll hack other systems. After I insert this into the panel, everything on station, including the oxygen, will shut down. The transport bay will be unaffected. The airlock will seal you in the next room. Flush it to keep the toxin from escaping. Then you can safely enter the bay.
Hail, this is Poole. Video received. Forwarding to ECC. I've spoken to General Olin. Here are those override codes you wanted.
Thank you, Poole. Stay on board your ship. The oxygen is about to be depleted in the station. I'm getting out of here.
We have orders to head back to Earth. Good luck, Hale.
You too.
She tapped in the codes. The seal exhaled, and the door slid open. Then she realized something. With the codes, she could make an all-station announcement.
This is Vala Hale. If you are alive, get to the transport bay in.
She glanced at Dr. Heater's hand signal.
30 minutes, or you'll die of oxygen deprivation. I'll be waiting for you.
Vala rushed behind the dolly.
Aren't you coming, Doctor?
I'll make sure any survivors get out of here.
The codes on the touchscreen will let you open the door again. Contact Poole and tell him everything you just told me. He'll give the ECC the information. If no one comes in 30 minutes, just leave.
His lips lifted into a smile.
My life's work is about to end. I need to make sure that it does.
Isn't there a way to...
No. Once I plug this in, even those codes won't be able to open any doors.
But you'll die.
Nothing less than I deserve. Now go.
Vala hesitated. Then she pushed the dolly into the next room. The door sealed behind her. With no window, she could no longer see Dr. Heater. As directed, Vala pressed the buttons to flush the airlock.
Airlock clear.
She exited through the other door, pushing Trey through first. The transport operator swarmed her. She just wanted to get inside a vehicle, take her Dolaplex, and sleep. Twenty women survived the Earth Station S1 attack. In Apollo, the first domed city, Vala spread her husband's ashes over a lake. It was there that Trey had proposed. It made her the happiest woman on the moon. Afterward, they'd stayed for hours just talking on their picnic blanket in the grass. She'd leaned back into his warm embrace as he pointed out to the stars.
You can tell which ones are dying, but some of them have just begun to live.
That's how she'd felt, like life had just begun. Trey had shown her that even the death of a star was a thing of beauty. The thought comforted her as she touched her belly, waiting to feel movement from the life inside of her.
So there you go. There's your first place winner in the Journey Into Writing Contest. I like how it goes back and forth between what's happening right now after the plague hits and what Vala is dealing with right now as the lone survivor, or so thought lone survivor. And then we flash back to a couple hours before and kind of what led up to this. And I thought she did a good job of blending those. You know, the things you learn from the flashback is referred back to when we come back. And I don't know. I just really liked the way it was constructed. I liked the story. I liked Vala. You've got all kinds of good science fiction going on. You know, you have the uploaded consciousness, and you have the space station feel and all in the isolation that comes along with that, especially now that everybody's dead. I thought she handled the grief really well. And as always, I really liked how Renee Chambliss portrayed the part of Vala. And I guess that brings me to telling you all the cast of characters for this story. Those talented voice actors that made this production possible. So here are the cast of characters for this story. Sorry about the birds. We have Renee Chambliss as Vala Hale, like I said. We have Dave Thompson playing her husband, Trey Hale. Big Anklevich, of course, of the Doonstief Audio Fiction magazine, as comm director Greg Poole. Julie Hoverson of 19 Nocturne Boulevard as Ingrid Hale, the evil stepmother-in-law. And then Bria Burton herself pipes in as a cameo, playing Pepper Underwood of the B-Wing. Then we have Rish Outfield once again. It's always really hard for me not to want to have Rish be one of the characters in a full cast production. But Rish played Dr. Heater. Gino Moretto was Dr. Riggs. And then Kelly Latham came in to play the nurse. And I, lovable four-year-old Marshall, was the narrator. You know, and thinking about it, I guess another thing I really like about this story is that I forget how much I like a good science fiction story. And, you know, with Star Wars and, you know, all of the Marvel MCU movies, which is a, you know, not science fiction, but it involves science fiction. It's a comic book movie. There's a lot of science fiction going on, like time travel and space travel and things like that. So, but just a good old fashioned science fiction story is always kind of fun for me. You know, actually being out in space, being based in somewhat, you know, what it would really be like. I guess you could call it hard science fiction where there's real science involved. I'm not one of those sticklers that it has to be truly hard science where, you know, everything is plausible and everything is based upon some scientific theory or mathematic calculation or whatever. That's all good too. But, you know, if you have a story like Passengers, the movie that came out a couple years ago, I'm listening to Rish Outfield's novel, whatever it is, called 10,000 Coffins, which is a really good story. And it's just got that kind of hard science fiction feel to it, even though there may be some fantasy elements, you know, like even in this one, the uploaded consciousness, you know, may be a little bit far out there, but, you know, how far in the future is this and that kind of stuff. So anyway, it's good to read a good science fiction story. And this is actually the second science fiction story that Bria's submitted and had here on the podcast. It, like I said before, she had the story of Lygia, which was based on an Edgar Allan Poe title, but it really didn't have anything to do with Edgar Allan Poe. But it was an interesting science fiction story. And I'll put links in the show notes, hopefully, if I remember to do that, to some of these stories that I'm referencing. But anyway, I'm glad to finally get this out here. I appreciate all of the authors that have contributed. And, you know, I'd like to say that I'm willing to, that I want to do another contest. And I do kind of want to do another contest. And I would even enjoy maybe, you know, having a longer word count, providing some longer short stories. But whenever I do that, I'm also signing myself up to edit these. And as you can tell, I'm not very fast at editing these stories. There's a lot of work that goes into it. And I want it to be right. I don't just want to slap something together. And so while I say that I want to do another writing contest because I enjoy getting the submissions, I enjoy presenting the stories, but it is quite a task and a lot of work to edit these stories. So I don't know. I'm thinking about it. I have a couple ideas for short stories that, or for some contests that would work and be kind of fun. But at the same time, I don't know if I want to sign myself up for that either. I just think I repeated myself at least three times there. So that must mean it's time to end the podcast. I do have a couple other journeys that I either have ready or are pretty close in their production. And they're not quite as involved as these last few stories have been. So you will be seeing more journeys. I won't just be doing the Netflix queue or that kind of thing. I will be putting some. And of course, there's always old time radio shows that I can present here on the podcast as well. So I want to do more of those. Just keep the podcast rolling. I'm grateful to everybody that listens. If you'd like to also contribute a little bit and maybe get a little extra for the podcast, you can go on over to patreon.com/journeyinto and, you know, donate $1 a month or something like that and get a little bit extra content and contribute to the podcast. I'd appreciate it. I'm grateful for everybody that does so. And I'm grateful also for you if you don't have the means to do that and just want to listen to the podcast, but I'd sure love to know that you're out there and to hear from you. So if you'd like to contact the podcast, you can go to, you can email me at journeyintopodcast@gmail.com. You can comment here on the blog, which is at journeyintopodcast.blogspot.com. You can, I'm on Twitter. You can tweet me. I'm at Journey Into. You can also go to the Facebook page at Journey Into Podcast. There's a plethora of ways for you to let me know that you like the podcast, or if you have suggestions, or whatever else you have to say. But for now, this has been Marshall Latham. I'm here on the Journey Into Podcast. Until next time, stay safe out there, and journey on. The Journey Into Podcast is produced under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. You can share this audio with whoever you would like, but please don't change it or sell it. And if you're going to share it, please pass along where you heard it first.
What do I do? Or is it recording?
It's already.
I love you. KTVV.
Journey into the dying light of stars. And I am Comm Director Greg Poole. I will read all my lines like this. I read you, Hail. This is Embark. V-I-I. That's how you say that, right? Or do you say Vi?
Her mouth hung open, eyes bulging, boils everywhere. Oh no, his mouth.
Our crew of six is all here, thanks to a docking delay. General Olin had to take his virtual meeting with the president in his cabin, so we've been waiting for him before darn it! Disembarking. That's an easy word to say, isn't it?
After Ingrid's abrupt, oh my gosh.
Who is Vala? Is it Vala? Vaya? Vaya? Vaya con Dios? Muchacho? Señorita?
In his office.
Perfect.
Is that good?
Awesome.
And cut.
And scene.
Fade to black.
Thanks, honey.
You're welcome.
I'll make you famous.